early stages of this Dusty May story, and obviously for Michigan fans, it absolutely sucks to have a coach that came in and get the program to where it was on top of the college basketball world to win a national championship in year two as a young guy. You know, it felt like you had it up and running and it was going to be this way for a while. The roster they put together for next year is exceptionally good. But after there have been public confirmations by Ward Manuel that a contract terms had been agreed upon, apparently a new contract hadn't gotten signed. They already had ripped up one contract and signed him to a deal after Indiana made a run at him. And now the Mavericks made a run at him. Source told me that Dusty May cited that it was a growing problem with college athletics and college basketball. And so take it for what it's worth. What it really comes down to now, well, there's a bunch of things. I guess it's not one thing that crystallized. It sucks for Michigan. What do they do next? Secondly is, you know, is there any culpability here? Like, did Dusty May have a contract that he verbally agreed to sitting on his desk, said, yeah, I'm going to sign that, and then just never sign it? Just said, no, I don't. And, you know, or were there any indications that he was going to do this and there was no response from Michigan? And, you know, again, there'll be further reporting on this. I know that people are quick to point fingers at Ward Manuel, and there's a reason why you wait to see how these things actually played themselves out, because maybe Ward did everything he could. Dusty was either following a dream or simply could not match the money, which can happen with the professional game because they can just offer way more money.
Well, it can, but I mean, how long ago did he agree to this deal to stay at Michigan?
So I don't know when Ward exactly said it. This Ward side of the story, but he said it a while ago. And again, the question is, why didn't it get signed? And I think it's a very important question that I want to answer before we really pass judgment if there's culpability here, because there might be. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Get your Champ and Chump votes in. Champ and Chump of the weekend. Who had the best weekend? Who should be called out? Had a whole bunch of stuff. Once the Brady Tkachuk trade went down, it felt like that was a bit of a template set for the possibility that Dylan Larkin could get that or something similar to that, likely even more. But we'll see how that plays itself out. If Brady Tkachuk gets three first-rounders and a second-rounder, it feels like Larkin, who's under contract for a longer period of time, a very team-friendly contract, just feels like that's something that should be able to fetch probably more.
I think definitely more. I think they're different players. Larkin and Tkachuk are different players, and you know, as a hockey player is concerned, Larkin is technically a better player. He plays both ends of the ice. He's just not as physical as Tkachuk is. But Dylan's a very, very good player. I think in a couple of years, Red Wing fans are going to there's going to be some rueing that they let it get to this situation where where Dylan Larkin goes somewhere else. I think we're going to miss out on him, unfortunately. But at the same time, you tell yourself he asked to leave and he wanted out. How do his teammates respond? You know, the guys are left here. How does Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond, how do these guys respond to it? Simon Edmondson, Alex DeBrincat. You know, are they going to welcome the challenge? You know, hey, that means new leadership on this team. Is gonna let somebody else lead the way. And does that mean for better futures for this team? Plus, what do they get in return? I hope it's way more than just draft capital, because I want this team is, you know, they were good enough to just miss the playoffs again. This is the same story we've seen for 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, which is brutal, that they're good enough to just miss out in the playoffs. And can they get players and can they address free agency to the point where they improve this roster to be a better team than what they were a year ago? Like, you're counting on players to get better themselves, but also if you bring in new blood, if they bring in a defenseman, it's a stay-at-home defenseman, all of a sudden it makes you better on the blue line. You're giving up fewer goals, you have a better chance to win. If you can bring in a player in your to add to this roster that's a, you know, a bottom six forward, but they're more of a proven scorer, you're scoring more goals. I mean, there are ways to make this team better in this offseason to compete for the playoffs. Probably not a Stanley Cup, but at least to compete for the playoffs and give yourself an upward trajectory with younger players that are going to be introduced throughout the season.
248-539-9797. There also is a report today that is reasonably big news. Shams Charania of ESPN said that Boston and Miami are both the two teams bidding on Giannis Antetokounmpo, and as it stood this morning, there was no third team involved, which would mean that Tyler Hero to Detroit to help facilitate this trade, which had been reported so much and rumored, and there was all kinds of talk about Tyler Hero is going to end up in Detroit. Apparently, that is now further from happening rather than closer to happening, according to Shams. So, a whole bunch going on. 248-539-9797. Let's go to William in Ann Arbor. You're on 97.1. Hello, William.
Hey, Doug and Gator. I am really upset at Dusty, only because of the timing. It's obviously his right to do whatever he needs to do,
yep,
best his family. But his quote very directly a month ago, Doug, and you're right, we need to see what happens, was basically the contract is done. It was done when we shook hands. We're just nailing down a final few terms. I'm going to sign it in July. There's a video of that. It is all over the internet if you Google it. And those are his words. Mm-hmm. So you're right. What happened between now and then? But leaving now, if you look when he signed with Michigan, he signed on March 24th of 2024. Whoever we get in here, it's going to take at least a few weeks, right? I mean, minimally. You're bringing somebody in mid-July. The program is now in chaos. And I wish he had just not been committal following the win. But what he did is he said all the things he needed to say to put him in position, if he wanted to stay, to have the best possible roster, and then still gave himself the opportunity to take an NBA job. Very selfish, very disappointing, if that's in fact what ends up happening.
And okay, let me go back. First of all, these are some good points. The timing is terrible. The timing is really, really bad.
Well, the timing is the end of the NBA season.
But it probably coincided with the beginning of the NBA's offseason. So you can understand why maybe an offer didn't come. But to wait that long to sign the contract, it does beg the question, why?
He could have taken the Chicago job, though, right? The NBA season for some teams ended a while ago, and that Chicago job was open. So, again, he took a great job where he's got Cooper Flagg, and he's got the ninth pick, and he's got a later first-round pick, and he's got some Kyrie that's left in him there. That's a much better situation, you have to agree, than the Chicago situation.
But if the Chicago situation, if the Dallas offer didn't come in until recently, I mean, and he could have said no to Chicago and waited for a better offer. There are some good points there. I mean, you make up some very compelling points, William, and I do want to know why the contract didn't get signed. Why a contract that was verbally agreed to?
Well, if he says he's planning on signing in the middle of July, you know what else it does? It tells the NBA, you got some time here to make your best pitch to get me to come on board.
Yep. Let's go to Steve in Northville. You're next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I got a champ and a chump, and I'm going to start out with my chump, and it's come up quite a few times today. Ward Manuel, for some reason or other, he lets a lot get away. Okay?
Yep.
I also want to bring up some name that hasn't come up yet. His name is Mark Cuban. Now, Mark engineered the deal, which I considered the biggest snake job of all time, by stealing loose.
What, Steve?
And whole team.
We lost you there for a sec. By stealing what?
Kurt Cignetti.
All right, Steve, your phone's killing
you. Indiana connection. He took Cignetti and his whole team away from James Madison. So now he's behind the Dusty May deal, obviously, because he owns the Mavericks.
He doesn't own the Mavericks. No.
Well, he did, and I think he still has.
He has some stake.
He has some stake in it, but he's no longer involved in those decisions, because I don't think he was too happy that Luka Doncic was traded.
And as far as what happened with the Cignetti thing, coaches take players with them when they leave programs like that.
Right.
That is, you is may not Mark like it, well, but that's.
I mean, is Mark Cuban a backer of Indiana Athletics? Absolutely. Yes. He's unabashed about it. He's more than willing to tell you that he paid to get the quarterback.
He's going to support Indiana Athletics. Yeah. Huh. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. More of your Champ and Chump votes. 97.1.